Okay, well, I missed about whatever.
Well, two half classes so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I need somebody to turn it on for me. I just can't keep it all together here. Okay, but as you see, all unrighteousness is not sin, but all sin is unrighteousness. And so sin, they share, there's a common character, but everything that is sin is unrighteous. But we won't turn it around and say that, as the AV does, as the King James does, and say that all unrighteousness is sin. Rather, the subject that he's dealing with is sin in the context. And so grammatically, I would say that the unrighteousness then is the predicate, the complement. It complements the to-be verb rather than being the subject. And so all we can say is that the verse states is that the two terms share the same quality and character. And so even if you did take it the way that the King James translates it, you're still going to come to the same thing, that they share a character and quality. Sin is not said to be unrighteousness, or unrighteousness is not said that to be sin per se, but they share a quality. And so in the end, well, it depends on what you take as subject and what you take as predicate. And when you take sin as the subject, it does, then it is the subject, and he is describing that the character of, and quality of sin is the has the same character and quality, is the same character and quality as unrighteousness. But he isn't identifying here. It isn't like in 1 John 3:4. Where in 1 John 3:4 you do have these sin is the unrighteousness, and both are articular, and he is identifying them. He is making them so you, they're convertible terms. They are interchangeable grammatically in 1 John 3:4, and so we can say that sin then is unrighteousness, though, but all unrighteousness is not sin. And so there are some things that are unrighteous before God. And all that unrighteousness is, what is it? It's that which isn't right. It isn't right. It's unrighteous. And so it isn't right before God. And so when we look at unrighteousness and make the statement that unrighteousness is a failure to line up with that which is right by nature or activity. And so we are, what we do by our nature is unrighteous, and we have a sin nature, but we do things that are unrighteous because we have a nature, a fallen nature. But God is the absolute standard of righteousness, and hence unrighteousness is a failure in any way to conform to God's absolute standard of righteousness. So God sets the standard of righteousness, and anything less than that is something that is unrighteous. And sin falls under that definition, that it is unrighteous. But to identify sin and to define sin, it is lawlessness. And so it is restricted to activity. And so we can say that the sin is lawlessness. And whatever, any sin that you may commit, it is also unrighteous. It is unrighteous. But then when you do something unrighteous, there are more things that are unrighteous that you may do than are sin. And so some things, and so sin is inclusive under the heading of unrighteous. That's probably not the understanding of many who teach on the subject of sin or write on the subject of sin. But I think when we look at Scripture overall, we don't see sin as the big term, though. Sin isn't the all-encompassing term, but unrighteousness falls into that concept. And we'll be looking at some of that a little bit more as we move on a little later in our study. But the next place I want to go in the next few pages, we're going to look at various terms that are representative of unrighteousness in Scripture. And then we'll look at some passages that actually list a lot of things that are unrighteous as we move into later on in our study. But we have some various terms that do represent this, and we're going to begin in the Old Testament. And I've given you a list of them in following pages, and as you look at them, you'll have, I go through 16 Old Testament terms. There are quite a number of Old Testament terms that describe unrighteousness in some way. And wherever I have a number behind the following any transliteration in the list, it's always going to Strong's numbers. And so if you want to consider it, you could go to a Strong's Concordance and you could look it up there for those who use an English concordance and you want to study these concepts anytime in the future, you'll know where to go. I will say if you have a Young's Concordance, you'll have to look up the way that they're translated. And in Young's will give you a little definition, and it's all on one page there anyway. If you used an Englishman's Hebrew Chaldee Concordance of the Old Testament, that would you would have you could do an easier study on these if you learn to look up the terms in that. You could always use the indices in the back to find these words in the back. But if you were ever interested, you could do that. Now, I do want to kind of introduce this by looking at a couple of places. And we do want to go to Ezekiel chapter 18. And this will get us rolling on the Old Testament concepts of sin. In Ezekiel 18, we find that you have references to a bunch of different words. You have 31 occurrences of words that are unrighteous terms for unrighteousness. Or you find 31 occurrences of 7 different words. And you can see the numbers on those for these words on the following pages. And so right away, we'll begin with sin. The word sin, chata in the Old Testament, it occurs 4 times. And so it's either sin, and you find sin and sinning. And I give you the list of references where it is found. But he says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And so there's the soul, the individual, or the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And down in verse 20, you have the same thing again. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then you have some words following that are translated iniquity in that verse. But if you go over to verse 21, it speaks of the wicked first, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, say he's done them, and keep all my statutes and so forth, then he wouldn't die. Down in verse 24 again, we come to the word for sin. And you'll see sin down towards the end of the verse. It speaks of a trespass, and it's really another term that we'll look at. It is treachery, but it just speaks of it being in his sin that he hath sinned. And so anyway, in his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. And so those are the references to sin. Sin is the first word listed in the list of Old Testament terms, chata, and it's to sin. And from the New Testament, we know that sin is lawlessness. And so, but you do find the word sin 213 times. You have sin in the Old Testament, and you have a variety of uses where the term is used. But the meaning, as is the case with all words, you have to determine the meaning of kata by consideration of the context. And so you'll be looking at the context to see how it's used. Well, sin, we from an overall view of Scripture, you see that sin is something that it's going to be lawlessness, God says. And so you're behaving lawlessness. And lawlessness, essentially, for the Jew under law, he broke the law. And so he behaved lawlessly when he sinned, for sure. Now, the next term that we want to notice is injustice, and it's number 10. And so in the list of words, And number 10 is Aul. Awal, I can't even say. I don't teach Hebrew, and I don't say it a whole lot of lot. But anyway, it's Awal. It's not Awal, but it's Awal. Awal. Anyway, and then you do have Awel, to the verb and the noun, and so. But this word means to distort. And so it can, or to turn away, to perform an injustice. But it is kind of a violent term. And so there are violent deeds of injustice, or just injustice in general. And so it's translated in the King James, iniquity, 36 times out of its 53 occurrences. It also is translated wicked 9 times and unjust 3 times. And so when you run across these words, the way they're translated, you'll never distinguish them in your English translation. But this will give you some idea. That's why I put Strong's numbers there if you ever wanted to pursue the concept of these terms or see which term is used in the context. You could look it up in a concordance and probably track it down there. But it is injustice. But we find it also a number of times in this context in Ezekiel 18. And so we go down to verse 8, and you see it translated iniquity. And so he that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from, and this is going to be an injustice. It's something it's unjust. It can have the concept of some violence, injustice to it. But he hath executed true judgment between man and man. And so he's drawing his hand back from this kind of behavior of an injustice. And so in verse 8, and it's translated iniquity. Now, as we come to the word iniquity, I probably should stop here and just make a comment. When you look at iniquity, iniquity translates all kinds of words. And you have around 90, or let me see, I said 90, but it's actually not that many. I have OT, and I've had a note in my margin. It's not an O. I just can't read my notes. But anyway, it's about 9 different Old Testament words. And so and about 5 New Testament words that are translated iniquity. And so it really covers so many things. It really doesn't mean anything when you get down to it. You really can't define iniquity. You have to know what the word is in the original to come to an understanding of whatever is represented by iniquity. But iniquity, I grew up thinking iniquity was really one of the worst things that you could face, but it isn't. It's a lot of different things, and they're unrighteous things, though. They're all unrighteous. And so as we move down to verse 18, we'll see this word. Make sure I get the right verse. I have to follow. Make sure I'm no 24. That was all wind there. 24 is we find this word again. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and here's that term that he commits, and this is a noun form, but he commits something that's an injustice against someone. And doeth according to all the abominations, we'll come back to that word, that the wicked, another word, man doeth, shall he live? All his unrighteousnesses, or all his, I can't read, all his righteousnesses there that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, then in them shall he die. But going through this verse, I just covered a bunch of different words, and we'll comment on some of those. We looked at sin already in the verse, and we look at this word translated iniquity, which is injustice. But as we go down to verse 26, this is where it occurs twice, though. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth injustice again, and dieth in them, for his injustice that he hath done, shall he die? And so he's done something that was unjust, and he did something that was that wasn't right to somebody else. It's not the word for unrighteousness here, but it is. It was just he did some violence in his dealings with somebody, and it wasn't. And he, you could see the idea that he would have cheated them in some way. The next term is number 16, and we pass through that word abomination. And so we'll look at abomination in number 16. And this is toiva. And so it's an abomination, something abominable or something disgusting. And so when we come back to our context here with abomination, we find it a couple of times only, and it's in verses 12 and 24. We noted it in 24, but in verse 12, this is you find this dealing with their idolatry and what they've done leading up to it. They says, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination. And so this is something that was just, it's abominable, it was something disgusting before God in their idolatry. And again, just to point it out, they did it, they were unjust, and they did according to all their abominations that a wicked man would do. And so there you have the idea of abomination. This chapter is just full of a lot of bad things. And when you look at it, this is a good place, if you're studying the Hebrew terms, you can get a lot of concepts of the Hebrew words. At least you see them in their usage as you look at them. It's just they occur so many times in this chapter. And so it's a good place to illustrate it. The next word we want to look at is going to be perversity, and it again is translated iniquity. And so we want to go back to verse 17, but before we do that, we want to look at number 3 in the word list here. And this is awen. And so anyway, yeah, I left a vowel out there, but anyway, you have perversity. It's perversity. And one thing we can say about this word awen is that it relates to the perversity that comes. It's the closest thing in the Old Testament to describe your sin nature. And so this is the source of these actions that you do. And so it results in acts of sin when you have this awen. And so sometimes it has the idea of guilt and so forth. It comes from a word, a verbal form, awa, which has the idea to curve, to twist, to distort, to act perversely, to be perverse. And the noun is translated iniquity 223 times out of the 230 occurrences. So this one, you have to be able to find these terms in a concordance or someplace. You have to be able to find which word is used in the verse if you want to really understand what is being, which word it is when it comes to iniquity. Iniquity again kind of confuses the issue. And so we see this word in verse 17, like I said, and I'm just picking up in the middle of the context. If I read through this whole context, it would make a flow to all the bad things that were going on in Israel. But that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments. And so this is a guy who's doing what's right. Hath walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquity, the perversity of his father. And so his father did something in his perverseness, and this, the son will not die for the perversity of his father. He shall surely live if he doesn't, if he does abide by God's statutes of the law. Now in verse 18, as for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, now this is the result of his awen, his iniquity, his, as they say, but his perversity, he spoiled his brother by violence and did that which is not good among his people. Lo, even he shall die in his perversity. And so again, he would die for his perversity. Now we skip over the next. We saw the next iniquity, but as we go down to verse 20, we find iniquity twice in this context of the verse that we looked at with sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the perversity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the perversity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And so, again, we see this thing of this perversity, this perverseness of man. Now, down in verse 30 is the last place we find perverseness. And so it says here, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Adonai Jehovah." Now, I think you're probably aware of it, but when you see the Lord there in capital letters and then small case letters, that is representative of the Hebrew Adonai, and Adonai is the term for one who is master. He's a sovereign. When God is all capital in all caps, instead of capital G in small case letters, it means that it's Jehovah. And so they didn't want to translate it Lord, Lord, and so they did it Lord God. So it is Adonai Jehovah here is speaking. But anyway, that's just for free. But he says, repent or turn. And turn yourselves from all your transgressions. And that's another word we'll see in a moment. So perversity, iniquity, perversity shall not be your ruin. It won't be a stumbling block to you. And so you need to turn so that this thing, this perverseness that's within that you have, this perverseness won't be in charge and running you, he tells these Jews. And he goes on, continues on with some other things when we get to transgressions. Now, I do want to spend a moment looking at wicked and wickedness, and that's number 5 on the list of Old Testament terms. And so as you look at this, this is a term that occurs quite a number of times. We run across wickedness quite a bit, but Resha is the noun, and I won't run through all of the words. You do have Rasha, the wicked, and so forth. Rasha would be the verbal form, but the wicked and so on. Now, it's just that, it's wicked. And in our understanding, and so it is the masculine noun. I give you some of the translations. Let me pick it up here. The adjective is translated wicked 251 times out of 262 times, and so that one's pretty easy. You can see it most of the time. The masculine noun is translated wickedness 25 times out of 30 occurrences, and the feminine noun wickedness is translated wickedness 14 times out of 15 occurrences, and the verbal form has the concept to do wickedly 17 times out of 34 occurrences. Now, under each of these, I've given you a list of verses and things where we kind of work on some and see some of these things. I'm looking at these things now just so that the beginning here makes some sense, rather than just breezing through this chapter pointing out that there are different words. But when you get into the list of words, I think we'll go back through, because we're not going to cover all 16 of them here from as we see them. But this is just to illustrate the unrighteous terms in the Old Testament, that there were many such terms as we look into the scriptures. And so this chapter is certainly probably the most unrighteous chapter in the Bible. It has so many terms for unrighteousness and describing different things that we classify as unrighteous. And so that wicked, though, I guess we should look at the verses just to point out some of that. Rather than read through verse 20 again at the end, we said there is wickedness if the wicked shall be upon him. And in verse 21 it says, but if the wicked will turn from his sins, and that is sins, and so on. We looked at that in verse 23. You have the wicked. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Adonai Jehovah, and so forth. Verse 24, you have the wicked referred to down in the middle of the verse, the abominations that the wicked man doeth. And so you have the terms there down in verse 27 again. You have, and when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, or his life. He'll save his life by doing so. Now the next term is transgression, and it's number 4 on in your list of Hebrew terms, pesha. And so pesha is you have the verb pasha, and it's transgress or transgression. And so it has that idea sometimes to rebel or rebellion or some of the concepts that they find with it. But it is transgression. This is the term for transgression. 84 times out of its 93 occurrences of the verb, it is translated transgression. Transgress 18 times. Well, that's the verb. The noun was 84 out of 93 occurrences. The verb transgress 18 times. Transgressor 9 times. And rebelled 6 times. It's translated revolt, offend, and so on out of its 93 occurrences. So it's translated mostly wickedness or to be or wicked and so forth. And you also have another verb, aver, in that same description here, to pass over, used in a wide variety of ways, including transgression. And so it may be descriptive of pasha, but to transgress. And when we think of transgression, transgression with the Old Testament concept was to pass over something. You crossed a line. And so when we look at transgression, and we come to that not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we see that Adam did several things when he sinned. One thing he did was he trespassed. And when we get to Romans 5 is kind of important on this, because in Romans 5 we see that Adam trespassed. By his trespass, something happened in that he died, but he died in a way that could only be offset by the fact that if another man other than Adam, somebody else did something else. And so by grace and the free gift of grace, there is life. But he died spiritually, we could say, and we'll explain that when we get to Romans 5. But he also, he transgressed, but he sinned by the transgression. So this trespass was something that Adam did in the fall. First, he trespassed. He determined in his mind, he gave it a place in his mind that I can do this. This is something that I can do. And when he did, as soon as he acknowledged that he could do that, it set him off so that he was on his way. And it was an unrighteousness. It wasn't sin. But then he did transgress, and by his transgression he did an activity that was sin, and he didn't fulfill what God told him to do. He broke God's one rule that he had given him at that time. Well, that's something we'll have to look at later on. But that's in the New Testament. You have some of that. And I got carried away with transgression and trespass anyway. But anyway, that's the transgression, though, has that kind of an idea. Now we see it in verse 22. All his transgressions that he shall commit, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. And so we have to pick that up in the previous verse. We won't go back there, but down in verse 28 you have transgression again, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions. Now that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die if he turns away from those things. And then in verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. And you notice down, he says, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions. And so you do that so that perversity shall not be your ruin. It won't be your stumbling block. We looked at the end of that. And in verse 31, you have transgressions. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed. And so that's the thing. Make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? But as you look at it there, it's transgression again. And so you have a lot of things, a number of occasions where you find that. Now, the next thing, we and the last word that we look at here is the word treacherous. It only occurs twice, but it is number 9 in your list, ma'al, and in the verb, and ma'al, to be treacherous, unfaithful. And this is something, this treacherousness is something that's done by stealth. There's a covert activity in this, and so it's kind of like a terrorist thing maybe, but it's unfaithful or treacherous. And in the AV, it's translated trespass 23 times out of the 35 occurrences. But it is a treacherous, something that's done by stealth. And it is translated transgress and about around and such 12 times. And so, anyway, I want to come back and we'll look at in verse 24. And I said we had a different word when we passed by that. But down at the end of the verse, you go down to the end where it says, in his trespass, that is ma'al, that is the treachery, in his treachery that he hath trespassed, that he has done treacherously, we could say. And so you have the noun and the verb here, and in his sin, that he hath sinned. And so that you have this idea of treacherousness. But like I said, we have 31 occurrences of unrighteous terms in this one chapter in Ezekiel. And it covers 7 different words. And they all describe different kinds of unrighteousness. Now, as we look at this, a lot of times in our thinking, if we don't distinguish terms, if we run across these words in isolated passages, sometimes when we look at it, we might say, well, sin, might substitute sin for it. But they're not all the same. They're different concepts and different terms used in the Old Testament for the concept of sin. And so it's a good place to see that there's more that unrighteousness is more than just sin. And sin's in the midst of all of these terms of unrighteousness, but it isn't right, and they aren't right, they aren't good, they are bad, but they are not all sin. We have sin in the middle of it, used with these different terms. And so it kind of, trust that demonstrates something about that there is more than just sin that is not right. And so that's kind of a good, to me, it's a good illustration. Okay, now, oh man, let me think about this for a moment. I have to think of whether I want to try to cover some of these concepts and go through them. I plan to kind of do that, but we have a lot more to say about sin later on, and I don't know if I want to bog down in going through them. So I'll just say that the listing of terms here, I'll just kind of go over the basic terms again as we go through them. Some we didn't see. Number 1, chatah, is just sin, and the verbal form would have the idea of committing sin, and so that would be it. It is sin, is against Jehovah, or against God, Elohim, 46 times we find references to sinning against God. Now, when you do sin, we're going to see later on that sin is against God, though we do sin against God. And so we'll be noting some of that. The next term, well, just let me point out a few things. I guess I could do that. You had idolatry, not fulfilling God's requirement, transgression against God's commandment, disobedience to his laws, provocation of Jehovah in the wilderness, and sin, the sin of ignorance of law. You have lying to his neighbor, stealing, eating blood, adultery, speaking against Jehovah. Those give you some concepts of where sin was used in the Old Testament, of things where people acted and did something. But you notice they did something in each of these instances. There was always some kind of activity, except for not fulfilling God's requirements, which was something under the law. law that was unique back then, not today. Now, the next term, Ra, or we could say Ra or Ra, I didn't put pointing there, but it is just evil or calamity. And so this is a term, we'll see that in Genesis chapter 3 with the fall, we'll see, or Genesis 2, we'll pick up on some of that. And so we'll see see that term. We won't necessarily go back there now. But it is used of God bringing calamity or evil and judgment on Israel and others. And so you'll see that in a number of contexts. It's interesting. It's translated break when he's going to, in Psalm 2:9, when Jehovah will break the Gentiles with a rod of iron. He's bringing calamity upon them with a rod of iron and so on. But it is used of Jehovah bringing calamity upon man. But it's also used of the evil of man. And so this would be a term that we would think of as evil and or calamity, but these are, you had Pharaoh's evil, his evil treatment, his calamitous treatment of Israel, and you can see how he treated Israel back in Exodus, surrounding chapter 5, it's to bring physical harm, it's the evil activity of idolatry. You have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that was and this is where I was going to go in Genesis 2, you have in verses 9 and 17, also over in chapter 3, verses 5 and 22. But the tree of the knowledge of good and the good that could make you happy, but also the evil, which is calamity. It bring calamity upon them. And then you have the evil done by Joseph's brothers against him, and the Israelites did evil in the sight of Jehovah quite often. And so you have a list of verses there. It's also translated wickedness of different individuals in Judah. And so anyway, you have this word Ra, which is not good. We've already looked at Alwen, the idea of perversity. As I said, it's the closest thing to sin nature, but it is that which is twisted and distorted in the nature of man. And so if you act perversely, it's to be perverse. And so we did look at that, but men will bear the consequences of their perversity. We can see that in a number of places in the Pentateuch. And then these things in the Old Testament, they were to confess these things. In Leviticus 26:40 and Nehemiah 9:2 and other places, they needed to be forgiven in Numbers 14:18 and 19. And so this was the thing behind the sin in 1 Chronicles 21:8 and Jeremiah 14:7. So these were behind this thing, this Alwen thing, this perverseness. This was behind the sin, though. And then these were, David desired to have them blotted out in Psalm 51 and verse 9. Now, a little later, we'll be back to some of these references, but we will be back to Psalm 51 and verse 9 some later on in the course. It's also used in the context of sins and transgressions in a number of places, and I give you a list of these. And then Christ was bruised, it says in Isaiah 53:5 and 6, but he was bruised for the perversities of Israel. And so it did require something in Christ's work. It's something that related to the perversities, to the sin nature, you could say, of Israel. Now, this word peshah, the word for transgressor, transgression, it was, and moving on over, it's transgressions that they needed to be pardoned. They needed to be forgiven and blotted out. You see that in both of those in Exodus and also in Psalm 51:1 with the blotting out and forgiveness and blotting out. Transgression accompanied sin in Leviticus 16:16 and 21 and Psalm 25:7. Now, and then they sinned by transgressing in Jeremiah 33 and verse 8. And so you have there's some words used to, some of the words are used together there. I made a note of that. But they did need to confess transgression. And again, when Christ, by prophecy, he was wounded for Israel's transgression, Isaiah 53:5, and Israel did transgress against God.
Wow.
I don't know who that was. Okay, but...
Am I answering your phone now?
No. Now, I'm going through these words, just kind of skimming over them, and I don't really care to do that, but I'm moving on to get into some other things when we get through some of these, when we look at these words, just so to point out the different terms that are used in the Old and New Testament. But when we need to kind of look at some of these terms to get an idea of what they are. And so what I've given you is kind of a little bit of a dictionary of terms, a kind of a breakdown, and just some of the results of my word studies on these terms, just picking out examples from them. And but then I just want to kind of plow through them. So I kind of I don't know if I need to apologize for it, but I do have a lot of things I want to look to in the future that we want to get into Scripture and begin to go through context and work it. But I do want you to see that the concepts that are there, and there's some different. Some of the same concepts will carry over to the New Testament. Some of them won't when we carry them over. I'll look at the next one, but I'm just watching my time. And it says 8 o'clock. And so I'm kind of wrapping it down for this class anyway. But the next word, wicked, Rasha or Rasha, it's wicked or wickedness. To sin is to do wickedly. In Daniel 9:5-15, Korah and his cohorts were wicked men and consumed in their sins. In Numbers 16:26, murderers are said to be wicked. The wicked is translated ungodly, are contrasted with the righteous in a number of places in Psalm 1, verses 1, 4, 5, and 6. And in that psalm, you see the concept of ungodly, and it speaks, you have the... In the Old Testament, you didn't really have godly or ungodly, and this term is not really a term that corresponds to the New Testament concepts of godly. You have the term eusebia in the New Testament is a term for godly and the forms of godliness. In the Old Testament, they were not godly, godly in the sense that we are today. And so they... But when it speaks of the ungodly, instead of in the council of the ungodly, it's the wicked. And so it's just the term wicked. And so it's not the man who's ungodly at all. And so you have that concept there. When wicked are described as transgressors, the wicked have perversities and sins and so on. And the work of the wicked is deceitful, as well as their thoughts and the desires, the calamity of his name. Anyway, I give you a list of things down in G. And so those are some of the concepts. And so I will stop at the Awen with an alpha, the Ewen. The Ewen is where I'm going to stop for tonight. And next time we will kind of move through and look at the uses quickly. I'm just going to kind of survey through it and then do the same with the terms in the New Testament. And hopefully we can get through with those in the next couple of weeks or so. We'll be at least get into our delving into the where sin began, what was involved with sin in the human race, and how it came through this human race, the effects of sin, and some and the rest of those things. But for tonight, we'll have to stop for now, and I'll make a note so I don't forget where we stopped. Okay, so we'll look to the Lord, and then we'll take a few minutes and start again. Father, we're grateful again for your word. And Father, as we consider these concepts of unrighteousness, we're thankful that when we consider your son, that he did die on the cross for our sins, but when he died on the cross for our sins, his cross work took care of more than our sins, and through the provisions of grace that we do have the potential to have victory over sin, but also all kinds of unrighteousness, and so we're thankful for that. We're thankful again that through the work of your son that when we do sin, if we should just happen to confess our sins to you, that you are faithful and righteous to forgive us those sins, and yet at the same time you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we're thankful that through the work of your son that all sin and unrighteousness has been dealt with on the cross, and yet in a family way we can have it forgiven and cleansed, even as we relate to you as grace believers today in our present tense salvation lives. And so again, we're thankful for your provisions for us under grace. Amen.